We're going to look at Psalm 116 and 117. Notice in your Bibles, depends on how your page breaks are, Psalm 113 through 17 are shorter psalms. And they are psalms known as the Hallel Psalms. It seems that the theme of these psalms is God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Thus, when the Passover was observed, these psalms were sung by those in the worship services. And so these are praise psalms. Verse 1 of chapter 113, praise ye the Lord. And then it goes on into 14, and then chapter 115, and we're looking at 116 and 17. Let's begin reading at verse number 1, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications, because he inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. We see, first of all, in these two verses, the proper response to the Lord's activity in our life. First of all, God's activity is that he hears us. He heard my voice and my supplication. In verse 2, he listens. He hath inclined his ear unto me. So we have that assurance that this is what God does. He hears us and he listens. He's a good father. And our response, our proper response should be, first of all, verse 1, I love the Lord. We should give our love to God. And secondly, in verse 2, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. We should converse with God all our earthly life. So this proper response to God's activity in our life is, first of all, remind ourselves that God is active in our life. He is hearing us. He is listening to us. He is interested in us. We are important to him. And there's no prayer or no request that you make to God is too small. They're all significant to him because he loves us. He's demonstrated that love through the gift of his son. And because he loves us, we should be willing and excited about giving ourselves to him, that we can trust him, that we can rest in him. We can be assured that he is going to take good care of us. And also, we should be talking to him a whole lot. We should be conversing with him all throughout the day. He should be prominent in our mind so that anytime anything comes up that is just, okay, God brings this thought to my mind, I need to pray about it. We don't have to go through a whole ritual of, first of all, getting all our sins taken care of and making up for 3 days that we haven't prayed. We're ready because we're in communication with him all the time. Sometimes you may feel that your prayers are a little repetitious. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with repetition. As a matter of fact, it would be good for us to constantly be asking God for something because it's important that we remind ourselves that whatever it is we're asking him for, he's capable and qualified to do and answer that prayer. And that we, by continually asking him, are dependent on him. So we see, first of all, the psalmist shows us a proper response to God's activity in our life. Secondly, we see the perplexing situation. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. So first of all, there's the threat of death and destruction that he's facing. Whatever it is, we're not sure. But it's very real in his life. And secondly, there's trouble and sorrow of heart. He's heartsick over whatever it is that's going on. It has really impacted him. And he is deeply concerned. So there is a perplexing situation. So third, we see the prayer's request, and that is deliverance. Verse 4, then after he is compassed about with the sorrows of death, and after he's dealing with the pains of hell getting hold of him, and after he's having the trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. So his prayer request is, God, give me deliverance from this. Whatever it is, weighing heavy on him, Where does he go? He goes to the Lord. A good lesson for you and I to remember. We need to take our situations to God. Him first. Okay, Lord, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm facing. Now, what should I do about it? Should I just wait on you? Should I try to respond? Should I take and do plan 1B or C, whatever? What is it, God, that you want me to do? And we wait on him. We pray to him. But in all that, we're asking him for deliverance from whatever it is that we're addressing. He is a God that delivers. In this section of Scripture, as it reflects back on Israel, he delivered them out of Egypt. And there was no problem too big that he couldn't conquer it as they traveled in escape from Egypt. He had a plan, as he has a plan for you and me. So we see the proper response to God's activity in our life. We see the perplexing situation. We see the prayer request. And then fourth, we see the preservation by God in verse 5 through verse number 8. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. So first of all, God's preservation of his children is due to his grace, righteousness, and mercy, not our being worthy of preservation. He does so because he chooses to do so. In verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. We see also in God's preservation, he's not a respecter of people. Doesn't matter who you are. He's in the preservation business. He wants to preserve you and me and take care of us and deliver us. And it doesn't matter whether we feel we're important to him or not, because we are. He's no respecter of people. In verse 7 through verse number 8, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Now notice he says here in the very beginning of this chapter, he's got a real big problem going on. What it is, we're not sure. But there's the sorrows of death compassing about, the pains of the grave, the hell there is the grave, take hold on me. I find trouble and sorrow. I call on the Lord for deliverance, and I see him doing it. His preservation is not because I'm worthy, but because he is merciful and gracious and righteous. He's not a respecter of persons. And now I can say I want to be responding to what God is doing. And what do I do? God's preservation brings human responses. The first one is God delivered the psalmist from death, weeping, and failure. In verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. So that's what God has done. So his response is in verse 7. He was able to find relief because of God's wonderful preservation. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. When God brings us through whatever it is we're going through and gives us that deliverance, then we rest. We rest because it's been tough, whatever it is we were going through. It was challenging. Now's the time for rest and give God the glory because he has brought that to pass. He has given us the deliverance. He has preserved us. So we see the preservation by God and the proper response to God's preservation. And then point 5, we see presenting God to the needy. Presenting God to the needy. Verse 9, I will talk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. So we see presenting God to the needy, the psalmist makes a decision to live for God among the people. In verse number 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. In verses 10 to 19, he will have a public witness of what God is doing in his life. In verse 10 and 11, he talks about his dilemma. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. So he had a rotten attitude. He just had a bad attitude about it. But we see that he saw God working. He had asked God for deliverance. And even with his bad attitude and his rotten attitude, God still brought deliverance. And so we see that he expresses in verse 12 and through 14, he expresses his thankfulness to God for the deliverance. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of deliverance and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. So he speaks of his dilemma. He expresses his thankfulness. I mean, he's talking to people and he's saying, let me tell you about what happened with me. So he just tells them about his situation. And he tells them about his attitude. And he tells them how he had been praying to the Lord for deliverance. And then he tells them how God delivered him in spite of his attitude. So he says, I'm going to praise God for it. And that's what he's doing. As he's talking to people about what God has done in his life, he is giving praise back to God. You give these testimonies. You give praise back to God for what he's doing in your life. It may seem small, but it is never small. A praise to God is never small. Sometimes we have huge praises to give back to him. But all praises are huge because they encourage other people and they motivate people. And you are being a witness for the Lord among the people with whom you exist. And so we see that. He says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. So he says, I'm going to express my thankfulness. In verse 15, he testifies of the ultimate preservation of God for his own. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Ultimately, that's what we're shooting for. That day when God calls us home. It's his timing, not ours. But when he calls us, it's going to be a great day. It'll be the ultimate deliverance once and for all. When he calls us home, there'll be no more need for us to ask for deliverance because there'll be nothing to be delivered from. And so the psalmist says, you know, this is where I am right now. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what God's doing. But I'm looking forward to that day when I have that ultimate deliverance. So he's got a public witness among those in his life of what God is doing. Now this public witness that he has is made possible because of private fellowship with God. Verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So in this private fellowship, first of all, there is this matter of surrender. Surrender to God because of his deliverance of the psalmist. So he says, because of what you have done, God, I am truly your servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and I will call upon your name. And then verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. There's that commitment to sharing what God has done and is doing in his personal life. So we see here a psalmist who's going through a challenge. He cries out to God for deliverance. He experiences that deliverance, even though at the time he may have had an attitude that wasn't the best. But he sees the deliverance, and it changes his whole perspective. It changes his view. It changes his desire. It changes his direction, his purpose for living. This is what God has done, and I have a desire to share this with other people, to tell them what the Lord has done and is doing in my life. And I'm going to make this personal commitment to it. Then we come to chapter 117, a very short psalm, two verses. This is the conclusion of the Hallel Psalms. It's the last one. And its theme is obvious. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Here is the challenge to everyone to praise God. The psalmist is challenging everyone to praise God. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Verse 2, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. The reason for such a request to praise God is the mercy and the truth of God is forever. And then the third thing we see is the theme of these Hallel Psalms. Praise ye the Lord, or as we call it, hallelujah. Because that's what the word means. Well, these have been great Psalms. They just brought us back to our focus on God. It dealt with real life, real situations in his life and what he's going through, how he's handled it, how he's dealt with it. I hope as we've looked at these five Psalms, it will give us some direction each and every day of our life. Our Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you do in our life. We are totally unworthy, but you love us, and you have made that commitment, not based on our value, but simply because you chose to love us. And you do what you do because of your love. In answer to your love, it gives you satisfaction to do the things that you do for us. And in the process, we reap the benefit. We are so grateful to you for your kindness, for your mercy, for your truth. Guide us through this week. Help us, dear God, to be faithful to you and to do all that you call us to do. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.